Okay. Well, this morning I'm going to continue with a series of messages. It's based on different chapters within the book, Sleeping Giant. And there is actually so much within it that is very relevant to the church today. Hopefully giving us insight into how God can and will use us today in his church. Now, one of the things that's worth pointing out before we get into this message is the way that we all perceive things differently. We choose to select different aspects of a message or even scripture to focus our attention based on what interests us, or perhaps what's familiar to us, or what we consider important. So for us to take an honest look at life in our church, spiritually, where do you sense we are at? Where do you sense we are at? The suggestion from the author of Sleeping Giant is that the church in our nation is not in good spiritual shape. And if that is the case, this obviously has an impact on all of us, because we're all part of God's one church. Even when we look, you know, we can look around us and we can see and hear how many churches are struggling financially. They say numbers are down. The changes that are being introduced that would be in conflict with God's word. Our perception of God's church could easily be full of gloom. There are many different opinions on where the church is at spiritually at the moment. But you know, God doesn't have an opinion. He has knowledge. He knows. And so that's our starting point. If we are to see the church awake and arise, then we need to see what God sees and allow him to steer our view or our perception of his church. The scripture we'll be looking at shortly is the one about the valley of dry bones, the vision that was given to Ezekiel. This vision describes the restoration of God's people, and it displays God's amazing power. It's an encouraging reminder of the Lord's power to restore. And we also see that he always keeps his unconditional promises. So if he promises to raise us from the dead someday, he will. Before we look at the vision in chapter 37, it'd be helpful to understand or see what it was that preceded it. In Ezekiel chapter 36, he proclaims a blessing to all of Israel, that they will produce fruit, even though they were presently living in desolation, that they will re-inhabit their towns, and they're going to see the ruins rebuilt. And of course, this would have been a challenge, because during this time, the Babylonians laid waste the land of Israel. They took many captives, which included Daniel and his friends, which you know you read about in the book of Daniel. They were taken captive. So the city lay in ruins, and their temple had also been destroyed. So perhaps, like us today, we can look around us and wonder, what hope is there? Certainly for the Israelites here in chapter 36 about the blessing that was going to come, and yet everywhere they looked around them, they seen desolation. Could they perceive what God was saying, what God was about to do? So it's a challenge, because everything around them was desolate. They couldn't see any hope for the future. So perhaps, like us today, we can look around us and wonder, what hope is there for the future of God's church? For the Israelites, restoration seemed impossible. They were living under the foot of the most powerful empire at that time. And it was only the poorest of the poor that lived in the city. So at that time, they could see no possible renewal of the Israelite nation. And you know, there are specific times in our life when we need to be reawakened spiritually, to get us out of the comfortable, complacent life that we've been drawn into. Even when it's a desolate or desperate time, there is a danger for us to just, as it was for the Israelites, to just settle for the way things are, with little hope for what the future may hold. But then, in steps God. In steps God into the picture, bringing new vision and hope for the future. But we have to make the choice to see what God sees. To see what God sees. Not being put off when we look around us. Not being put off by looking at the state of the church in this nation and thinking, where can we go from here? Anyway, our reading is Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm going to be reading from verses 1 to 10. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 10. Okay. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. You know, the dry bones symbolized the hearts of God's people. They weren't just dry, it tells us they were very dry. Perhaps that's what we see when we look at the church today. Remember, this word is speaking to believers. It's not about the state of the world. It's about the condition of the church. Now, when faced with a vision like this, as Ezekiel was, God reveals to him how hopeless the situation is. But as the vision unfolds, it actually reveals that God is at work. While Ezekiel comes to terms with what's revealed to him, the silence is broken with a voice from heaven. Son of man, can these bones live? God is asking him, now you've seen these things from my perspective, do you have the faith to believe that I can make a difference? Can God bring life back into dead bodies and dead people? And you know, it's the same challenge that we face today. When we look at the church, what dry bone situations do we see around us? When God asks a question, we know it's not for his benefit. He knows all things, but he will use it to get our focus on any given situation. So today, when we look around us and we get despondent about the state of the church, and we get asked, can I bring life into what would appear dead? Now, of course, the obvious answer is yes. But the challenge in this question was not just a yes or no response. This was all about stirring faith in Ezekiel. today I believe this is about stirring faith in each of us. When we look around us and God asks, can I make a difference here? Will he stir faith within our hearts when you hear that? Can I make a difference here? Can I bring change? Can I bring life for perhaps when you only see death? And for us, is when we look at any situation from the world viewpoint, it's very likely to be negative, especially in relation to God's church. But you see, the question posed is all about what God can do. It's all about what God can do, the transformation that he can bring about. Now, at a glance, you could think that Ezekiel is dodging the question when he said, O Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Yet the first thing Ezekiel did was to acknowledge the sovereignty of God. He was allowing God to be God. And I wonder how often we actually allow that in the church today. There are many voices speaking out and declaring that this is what the Lord is saying, or that's what the Lord is saying. Some claim that they are God's mouthpiece. And you know, we need to test the Spirit. Check it against God's word. You know, I believe very much in prophecy. But I'm also aware that sometimes we can get caught up in what we would like God to do. What is God saying? In 1 Thessalonians 5:19 to 21 says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. So when we look for evidence of revival, something that reveals that God is at work, there'll be no mistaking it. You'll know because you'll see the hand of God. Perhaps there is something that we've lost. You know, it was a well-known theologian and author, R.T. Kendall. He was asked this question. Are there things that need to change in order for God to move again in power? And he replied, we have lost a vision of the sovereignty of God. And that needs to be restored. He said, we can't hasten it. We can't manipulate it. But we can't stop it. And he goes on to say, I look for it every day, but waiting is not fun. And I think sometimes that's a challenge for us, isn't it? When you're in that waiting period for God to do something, there's no fun in that. And it can be a hard slog at times. Keeping your faith, believing and looking to see what God is going to do and will do within his church. You know, when you research where God is moving in miraculous ways around the world, let me tell you, his church is thriving. Thriving. Give you a couple of instances. In Iran, for well over a decade, the church in Iran has grown faster than in any other country. The Islamic Revolution has brought about great disillusionment, especially among the younger generation. They've suffered under intense persecution, and yet while this turmoil spreads amongst them, the church keeps growing. It's now estimated that there are more than 1 million believers in Iran. You know, and under the persecution that they've faced, you can be certain none of them are just nominal. They have a faith that they believe in, that gives them strength to face the persecution that they live under. And then you have Thailand. They have traditionally welcomed missionaries, but have also appeared to be resistant to the gospel. Much has been sown into Thailand through prayer and mission, but with little fruit. They reckon the first missionaries that were sent out to Thailand was around about the 1550s. So that's how long the country has been open to them going, but there hasn't been substantial fruit for all that time. But interestingly, in the last few years, they've experienced an explosive growth. church have went through village-to-village evangelism. She's taking small groups, going around Thailand, speaking, sharing their faith with these people. And now thousands of rural house churches have been planted as a result of that. They had one mass public baptism, and it had 1,435 people getting baptized. You look at that and say, only God. God is at work. His church is still thriving. Sometimes we have to look a bit harder to see it. You know, sometimes we can get caught up in our own glass house, if you like, and forget God's world is out there. His church is out there. There is so much that he is still doing. Now, of course, that's just a taster for what God's doing. But what about at home? What about here in this neighborhood? The author of Sleeping Giant is Tommy McNeil, and he's been asked many times if he believes that revival will come to our church nation. His response is, everything within him wants to respond, everything within him wants to respond, yes. But he has to answer as Ezekiel did, O Sovereign Lord, only you alone know. One thing we do know from Scripture and historical records of revival is that God will not do it without our involvement. He looks for us to be a part of that, just as he did with Ezekiel. As he was told to prophesy over the dry bones, he spoke life into the situation as God commanded. The dry bones needed to hear the word of the Lord, followed by the breath of God, his Spirit. Sadly, we often hear people prophesy death over his church. When they refer to dead churches, dead leaders are dead denominations. It's very easy to speak judgment based on our own perceptions rather than the prophetic word. You know, may God forgive us if we have spoken death over his church. We need to prophesy life everywhere we go based on seeking God's heart and his sovereign will. Will we speak life into the church? Will we speak life into this nation? Many of you who have been Christians for a long time may remember a lot of preaching about being a Word and Spirit people, or a Word and Spirit church. And it was certainly preached many times within charismatic circles of the real need for Word and Spirit to work together. We see this even in this particular vision of Ezekiel's. It's interesting, I came across an article, it was in 1992, R.T. Kendall, the man I quoted earlier, was speaking at the first Word and Spirit Conference that was held in Wembley Conference Centre. And he says, on the final evening, he gave an address. And he said to everyone who was gathered there, that as Abraham thought Ishmael was the promised son, only to learn that Isaac was coming, so he believed the charismatic renewal movement is Ishmael. People think it's the final work of God before the end, but he said no. It's coming. The promise of God will come. And he says it will be 100 times greater than what we've known previously. And he goes on to tell us that the response that he got was that almost nobody liked that word. Almost nobody liked it. But he's finding today many are now saying to him, we hope you're right. They've now started to listen. We hope you're right, because if what we have today is all there is, we're in bad shape. And therefore there must be more. His response, we need something that we don't have, but something is on the way. And there are some times you have to hear a word like that to stir faith within you again, to know that something is on its way, that God is still at work. He hasn't finished with us yet. He has not finished with his church. Something is on its way. The best is yet to come. And it won't be long. He says, in my opinion, the next thing to happen on God's calendar is not the second coming. It will be the awakening of the church just before the second coming. That the church is going to be awakened again. That's the kind of life that we need to be speaking into. Look at what happened when the Word and Spirit came together in Ezekiel's act. Came to life in their own. Up on their feet, a vast army. By the power of God, the same can be true of the church today. But what do you see as you look at the spiritual situation around us? Will we be overwhelmed with only seeing death? Or will we see the potential, that vast army of God before us? I want to show you a picture. Just if you look at it, there's a picture based in the Valley of Dry Bones. Now you can look at that, and there's different things you can perceive from that picture. You look and you see all the bones lying there, all dry, lying in the dirt, lying in the sand. And then you can look, and amongst that, there's still hope. Even in amongst that situation, still praying, still seeking God's word. And even in the dry situations, there are times we think life's hard. Imagine living in that. And allowing your faith still to be stirred, still to seek God, not to give up, still to keep moving forward. When you look, do you see hope that someone is praying, seeking God with his word before them, not being overwhelmed by what surrounds them? And you know, that's what God is asking of us today. Don't just look at the church and see dry bones. See the vast army that only our amazing God can transform into life. And he wants us to be a part of that people. A people who call out to him. It's time to awake and arise. You know, personally, it doesn't matter how much we've messed up or fallen into sin. No matter how dry our bones have become, God can restore all things. If we have a friend or a family member who's rejected Christ and doesn't seem interested in Christianity, God can still work in and through them to bring them to him. You know, whenever we lose hope, or despair when we watch the news, or worry about tomorrow, we can rest assured that God promises to restore all things, just as he had with the Israelite captives in Babylon. There are things that we can look in Scripture and transfer to the situation that we find ourselves in today. We need to speak life into the church. We need to breathe the Spirit of God into the church and allow him to be seen in amongst us again. Because we are no longer captives. We are no longer captives. We have been set free. And it's time for us to live in that freedom and speak out the life of God into every situation that we find ourselves in. Speak life into God's church today. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we forget what power you've placed within us. And even more, we forget that you've equipped us to use it for your glory. Lord God, help us today, right here, right now, to stir up the dry bones within us, to call ourselves, first of all, to come alive, so that we may be able and ready to speak forth life and resurrection in your name. Father, we thank you for trusting us and also inviting us into this incredible work We thank you, Lord God, that you've called us to be a part of your church. So, Father, hear our cry as we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. I'm going to hand back to the praise team to lead us in our closing worship.